Thanks. In fairness, it's my fault to put myself on the graveyard shift right at the end. I wanted to give really good time to Robin and to Dave, and they have blessed us so well, haven't they? And I don't know about you, but the seminars I accessed were fantastic, not just the one I spoke at. I thought the seminars today have been brilliant, and I know many of you have told me that the seminars you've been to have been fantastic as well. It's just great, isn't it? Isn't it great to gather together? And I know I'm preaching to the choir again because you guys are here. It's the ones at home who don't know how great it is, right? To come and gather together is incredible. And do you know what? As I was planning how to speak this afternoon, I thought, well, you know, this is the bit at the end of the day when we've had a great time together and we've stood in the presence of God and we've heard great talks. And I thought, it reminded me of a conversation I have. I seem to have it annually, bar COVID. And maybe you've had the similar conversation, but I was at Commission Festival in the summer. I know many of you were there. Maybe you were at a different Bible camp, or maybe you've experienced other Bible camps. But it seems to be an annual conversation for me that happens, is that a group of kids come up and they say to me, Becky, I just love it here. Have you had that conversation? I just love it. I wish we didn't have to go home. Have you had that conversation? I wish we didn't have to go home. I wish we could live at West Point. I had this conversation with the kids a few weeks ago. I wish we could live here like this. Which normally then leads us into a conversation about what it would be like to live full-time in a tent and what that camping experience would be like. And even the best extroverts among us don't appreciate being around 3,000 to 6,000 people all the time. It's great some of the time, but I'm not sure living at the festival would be as fantastic as some of these kids might be led to believe. And I think this is another one of those moments when you think, oh, it's just great. It's just great to be in the presence of God, surrounded by like-minded people. And I want to talk to you this afternoon from John chapter 17, because I actually think Jesus talks about this very problem. And Jesus, in this moment in John chapter 17, he is—he's just about to go to the cross. He's about to die. He's about to get arrested and crucified, and he spends what could have been his final time praying for his disciples, praying for you and I. So I'm just gonna—I'm literally just want to pick up a couple of verses at the end of John chapter 17. I'm reading verse 14 to 19. Jesus prays. He prays about us. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also might be sanctified in truth. Well, it's a good passage to pick up because it talks about truth, right? And that's what our conference is about. But I think as we've packed through a whole load of talks today, I hope you've picked up. Actually, do you know what? The world is a really complex, messy place. And it's a hard place for our children to be standing on truth. And I think Jesus has some wisdom for us in this. You've probably heard this phrase, being in the world, but not of the world. Have you guys heard that? Give me a wave if you've heard that phrase, right? It's commonly said about Christians, about being in the world, but not of the world. The guys at the back were enthusiastic with their waving. Appreciated that. Well, I've called this talk Living Like Superman, because Superman was in the world, but not off the world. A little known fact about me is that I actually really like Superman. I grew up, maybe some of you experienced this too, but I grew up watching Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, right? Isn't that the best one, right? By far and away, that's Terry Hatcher and Dean Cain. If you guys don't remember, you should watch it. It's probably really dated. I loved watching Lois and Clark, New Adventures of Superman. It was a Sunday afternoon family moment for us, and we'd watch our episode of Lois and Clark. And there's something really appealing about Superman. I don't mind the other Marvel stuff, don't get me wrong. The other superheroes are cool. But there's something about Superman, about the fact that he kind of has to kind of live in this undercover way, that's quite appealing. And it reminds me of us. So I've got four things. That's it, because we're at the end of the day. I thought you couldn't cope with five, so we're going to go with four. We're going to have four things, I think, from this passage in John Jesus would have us believe so that we can be people who are in the world and not of the world, like Superman and like Jesus, and so that we can equip our children to be in the world but not of the world. Here we go. Here's the first one. The first one is that we need to remember where we're from. Now, if you don't know the story of Superman, Superman comes from the planet Krypton. His planet is destroyed, and he is sent to Earth as a baby in this rocket ship. And he lands on Earth. He grows up on Earth. He looks like a man. He walks among mankind. And he lives and he breathes and he experiences all that planet Earth is. Bear in mind, it's fiction. But he grows up with no memory of his previous home. Yet he lives here on this Earth with a different home. And he has to remember where he's from. Do you know, Jesus wasn't of this world either. He had a different home. His home was with God. He prays of us that we're not of the world, just as he is not of the world. Jesus wasn't ruled by the powers of this world because his throne was in heaven. His purpose and his future were with God, not restricted and limited to this world in this time. And nor are ours. Our future is with God. Our home is with him. We are not limited and restricted to our experience of this world. We have a different home. We have to remember where we're from. Do you know, Jesus said this twice. I don't know if you notice that. He says it in verse 14 and he says it again in verse 16, the same phrase. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. He says it twice in just this short passage because Jesus wants us to remember where we're from. This is utterly grounding and foundational for our children and for us to remember that this world isn't our home. In order for our children to stand a chance at standing firm in this turbulent place, they need to know it's not their home. You see, when you remember that it's not your home, all of the turbulence and the instability of this world doesn't matter. All that kind of fluctuating truth out in culture, all of the unpredictability of our leaders in this world, that doesn't matter. And it doesn't move us because we're not rooted here. Our home is in heaven. Our kids need to know this. They need to know that their home, where they find their comfort, that's what home is for kids, isn't it? Where they find their comfort, where they get their rest, where they find their security, it's not in this world. It's with God alone. When they remember that, the bullies lose their power. When they remember that, the moments of feeling left out in this world won't matter. When they remember that, the times when they feel different no longer hurt, but they make sense. Because this isn't their home. Well, how do we remember where our home is, or remember where we're from, if we've never been there, right? Superman had never been to Krypton in his living memory. And he had to remember something that he'd never experienced. Well, the same is true of us, right? We've got a home we've never been to before. So how do we remember what it's like? Superman found this kind of depository of knowledge. Depending on which franchise you end up watching, he finds it in a different way. But when you watch the Lois and Clark New Adventures of Superman, he finds this globe. And when he touches the globe, like out comes this hologram of his dad who kind of communicates what his home is like. Do you know what, guys? We have a depository that tells us what our home is like, don't we? What's it called?
Bible.
The Bible. Right, we've got this that tells us what our home is like. You know, Scripture tells us our family history. It tells us where we've come from. It tells us about our Father. For our children to truly know where they are from, they need the truth of God's Word because it answers their questions and it fills in the blanks. It opens their hearts and their minds and it helps them see King Jesus. For us to feed our children Scripture that's going to help them stand firm in a world that's not their own, the Scripture needs to be in us, friends. I feel like Robin's nailed this point home already, that we can't be teachers of the Word if we don't know the Word. We have to know the Word. It needs to be in us. It needs to be the reason that we turn up and teach. It needs to be the content that we teach. How often do we teach dodgy content? Scripture is where our story comes alive for today. It is relevant for the life that our children are living because it's our history, because it's our home. Our children need scripture for us, for our children to stand firm in this foreign world. They need the truth of scripture to help them remember where they're from. Point two. That was point one. Point two. The second thing I think from this passage is that we need to remember who we are. Remember who we are. You know, when you live out of your home nation and you live in a different place, you don't easily forget it. I've never lived with that experience, but I know some of you will have. And actually, you notice those cultural differences constantly. Your accent doesn't fit. Even just, I lived for a while when I was a fresher at uni. There was three of us in a flat, and one girl was from Russia and one girl was from Spain. And our cultural differences was massive, even over things like washing up. How we wash up was so drastically different from the three different nations. You know, when you live out of your nation, there is constant change in how you do life, right? The same is true of us. Do you know what? This world is not very good at accepting different, is it? Do you know, my prayer is that we would see God's kingdom come in this world, and that what happens in heaven, in all the diversity and the acceptance and inclusion of heaven, would be seen here on earth. I pray that all of those children who experience the reality of being different in this world would know the welcome and the acceptance in this world. But the reality is, this world is not very good at accepting difference at the moment, and we are different. We're different because we come from a different home. We have a different culture. We have a different accent. It should feel uncomfortable for us to live in the world because it's not ours. Do you know, Superman masked, didn't he? Wore this costume, as it were. And I'm not talking about his nice S-shaped one. I'm talking about his suit and his glasses, right? Because the real person was Superman. But he wore this suit and became Clark Kent as he went into the world to try and hide who he really was, didn't he? You guys hopefully know that about Superman. He wore his glasses and he put on his suit and he pretended to be this mild-mannered reporter as he went about in this world. Because you know what? He found that being Clark Kent was easier in this world than being Superman. I think our children are doing the same thing. I think our children are loving Jesus with all their hearts, absolutely genuinely on Sunday mornings. Maybe even a prayer time at bedtime, maybe even in the home. But they figured out, the same as Superman, that if you were to put on your Clark Kent outfit, you will get on in this world so much easier. If you look and you talk and you mask and you look like other people, then life is easier. You don't get the trouble of this world if you look like Clark Kent. Do you know what? I think we're raising very good undercover agents. And I don't think it's because our children aren't believing it. I don't think it's true of my children and the children I've encountered across commission. I think there are hundreds of children across commission who love Jesus with all their heart. But I think our children are struggling with being different in this world. I think we need to help them with it. How do we help them with it then? Because that sounds like a great idea, Becky. Totally agree. How do we do it then? Well, firstly, we model it. How good are we at this, after all? How many of us are putting on our Clark Kents as we head out into our workplaces too? How good are we at this? Let's model what it looks like to be unashamedly King Jesus, part of God's nation. And secondly, I think we teach them the truth. I think we need to teach them who they are. We need to show them in Scripture who God's called them to be in such a way that they're not ashamed of their identity, but they're empowered by it. They realize the power of being children of God, of their nationality and their heritage being King Jesus as their king. We need to empower our children by teaching them the truth. There's a massive culture. Our culture at the moment has a massive identity crisis, doesn't it? That's such a big issue in our culture today. Kids are busy thinking, I don't know who I am. And they're growing up thinking, I can choose who I am. Do you know what? Scripture tells them who they are. Let's teach them truth. Let's teach them truth that doesn't fluctuate and doesn't waver. Let's help them know who they are. Okay, number three, the third thing to remember. Remember why you're here. Jesus finishes in the end of chapter 16, just before he starts this prayer. He finishes in verse 33 and he says, you will have trouble in this world, but remember, I've overcome the world. Jesus says, don't be surprised when you get trouble. You know, Superman experienced quite a lot of opposition when he landed on Earth. People didn't like difference, and he ended up with a lot of attack against him, the Lex Luthers of this world, trying to attack his powers. Well, do you know what? We live in a war zone too. Because the powers of this world are at war with our king. And therefore, we live in a war zone, and so do our children. But Jesus says, I've overcome the world. We know who's victorious. And Dave was so helpful in sharing about being on the offensive and not the defensive, wasn't he? In that, remembering who's victorious in that moment. Well, Jesus prays for us in that passage. He prays that the world has hated us. And I think Jesus would have known what it was to want to shelter and segregate and love and protect his people, wouldn't he? Well, surely King Jesus, with all of his power, could have just like scooped up the Christians and put them over here where they were going to be safe and protected and no one was going to attack them. He could have done that, couldn't he? He could have even, in that moment, he could have prayed, Lord Jesus, Jesus was praying, Father God, take them out of this mess and take the trouble away and put them over here where there's no one to attack them. But that's not what Jesus prayed. Jesus didn't pray that. He prayed that Father God would keep us safe from the evil one while we live in the world. Do you know what? When we remember that we're at war and that there is trouble around us, it helps us because we're not surprised or offended when we experience trouble. And our kids are not surprised when people hurt them because they're taught to expect it instead. We're prepared for it. We know how to defend against it. Do our children actually know? Do our children know that they live in a way that they should expect trouble because they're part of King Jesus' nationality and his nation? Do our kids expect trouble? Are they prepared for it? Do they know how to defend against it? You know what? Scripture is absolutely jam-packed full of stories of God's people under attack, isn't it? I could talk to you all about Job, David, Esther, Ruth. What about Stephen? What about Paul? What about Jesus? There are so many people in here who experience what it is to live in a world of trouble and to stand firm in it. And I'm not going to dig into those passages now, but you should. You should read them with your children. You should help them know to expect trouble in this world because we are not of this world. Well, Superman knew that he was called to be a peacekeeper in a land that hated him. He knew what it was to carry the values and the passions of his world and bring them into this world, fictionally. But just like Superman, we have been called for a purpose. Jesus could have scooped and he could have placed us away from it, but he didn't because we're here for a purpose, and so are our children. They're not just in training for their purpose later. Our children are in the world now, and they are experiencing the trials and the troubles of being from another place, of having a different home, of being someone outside of this culture, because they are here for purpose. Jesus prayed in verse 18, he said, I have sent them into the world. We are missionaries in a war zone. Our children are missionaries in a war zone. We're not here to passively hide, just to endure it or survive it. We're not even just trying to get kids through childhood so they can finally land as an adult and then they can be a missionary to this world. Our kids are missionaries right now. So how are we equipping them? How are we calling them to step up and step into that identity of being in this world but not of this world, to be children of God in this place? Well, for our children to stand firm in this dangerous world, they need the truth of God's word to help them know why they're here. The answers are all in Scripture. We need to teach them the truth to help them stand firm. And my last point, and my fourth point, is to remember what helps us. Remember what helps. Superman was known as the Man of Steel. He was invulnerable. Oh, apart from he wasn't, was he? Kryptonite. Was his kryptonite. I think you guys know the story of Superman. He wasn't invulnerable. He needed help. And how often did Lois Lane turn up there to help him in that moment of need as well, right? Superman needed help, and so do we. Jesus knew that we needed help, and that's why he was praying for us in the first place. He knew that we needed help. What did he ask for? In verse 17, he prayed, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." You see, the word sanctify here means to be set apart, to be called out as holy. Jesus didn't pray for the trouble to stop. He didn't even pray for us to be segregated from them. He prayed that we would be sanctified, set apart, whilst we're in this culture. Okay, let me help you with that. You see, Jesus clearly states here that the how we get our help is through the truth. Sanctify them, help them be set apart in truth. And then he clarifies and he says, your word is truth. In today's day of defining your own truth, whatever you want truth to be, we must help children know the stability of Scripture as the truth that is unwavering. That's massively important, friends, because do you know what? We can say that stuff, and then we teach stuff on Sunday, and the kids think, I've got questions about that, and they don't ask the questions. Or they think, I can read that at bedtime, but it doesn't make sense to me now, right? We need to help our children understand why this truth is foundational for them now in this culture, because it does have all of the answers for what we're dealing with now. Your word is truth. Well, guys, how do we do that in kids' ministry? Because I'm teaching Scripture in children's ministry just like you are. How does that look like for us? Well, we're not tokenistic with Scripture. We don't just stick in a memory verse and call that done. We're not tokenistic with Scripture. We value the word. We say we're word and spirit churches, don't we? We say that's our value, right? Let's value the word. And let's value the word when we do that in our sessions. Let's open the Bible. We're great at reading Bible stories, but how many times I've done this, we paraphrase it into a better way for children to understand it. Or we might retell it in our own words, right? Let's actually get Bibles out. Let's show them that we value the word of God, because that is their source of truth. So we need to teach them how to value Scripture. So we open the Bible with children. We don't just refer to it. And we read it. We study it. And we teach it diligently. Do you know, James writes in James chapter 3, he says, not many of you should become teachers, because we who teach will be judged more strictly. It's a really high calling to be a Bible teacher, and it's not one to be taken lightly. It's one that I think we do take lightly in children's ministry. It's not to be taken lightly. We value the word of God, and we diligently study it, and we teach the truth of the word. Not just, I remember I've read Jonah before. We read Scripture and we study it. Well, the other thing Jesus says, he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth, right? I reckon you guys have probably read John 1 already because Robin did it earlier. The word became flesh and lived among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word is Jesus. Your word is truth. Do you know what? Superman gets his strength from the sun. Did you know that? You might have to be a Superman nerd for that, right? Superman gets eaten away by kryptonite and the attacks of this world, and he flies out and he basks in the sun to gain his strength. Do you know what Superman needed to gain strength from the sun? Because the attack of this world was real, because it did eat away at him. Friends, we need to go and bask in the sun. And, well, look, I'm about to go to Florida, so I'm going to do that literally. But we should bask in King Jesus, the sun, right? We need to come regularly to Jesus. Friends, I know what it is to serve your socks off. I'm in a church plant. I know what it is to do kids' work every Sunday. I know what it is to serve. And it's so easy to let that eat away into your basking time. Guys, Sunday's not the only time to bask. And I know it can feel like, hey, I've not been able to get to worship for weeks, right? I know what that feels like. It's not the only chance to come and worship. You need to prioritize coming to the sun. Whether that's going for a walk, whether it's sitting with the word of God, you need to prioritize time to find strength in the sun. Because in order to stand firm in this crazy world, we need to find strength in the truth of God's word, in Jesus Christ. Do you know what? We're really good at looking at other places to find our strength. We are really good at Netflix. We're really good at food. We're really good at sleeping or at hobbies. There are many other places where we find strength. And those things are good, but they're not the sun. We need to come bask in the sun. Guys, I want to just finish in some practical prayer. Are you with me for that? Can we stand? Let's just pray together, shall we? The first thing I want to do, we're going to come to worship in a second, but I want to pray for two things, and then we'll bask in the sun, okay? But the first thing I want to do is I want to pray for our children. We've spent all day talking about them, right? But our kids are living what it is to walk in this horrible culture. That's really tricky. So, guys, I just literally want us to all pray for our children right now. My kids are probably called different things to your kids, so call them out by name. And pray for God's protection from the evil one. That's what Jesus prayed for us. Pray protection over those children, that they would stand firm in the word. They'd know who they are. They remember where they're from. They remember why they're here. Can we do that? Let's raise our voices and let's pray that together right now. Oh, Father God, our heart cries out for these children, for the children in our churches and the children in our homes. Father God, these children, you know them each by name, and you know each of the challenges that they face in their days. Lord Jesus, we cry out to you, protect them from the evil one. Will you protect them, Lord Jesus, and would you help them to be grounded and rooted firmly in your truth? Jesus, help them to remember who they are. Help them to remember why they're here. Help them remember where they're from. Jesus, would you come alongside them and then remember where their help comes from? Lord Jesus, help our children to be standing firm on truth. Lord Jesus, help them run back to you, King Jesus. Cry, help them, Lord Jesus, protect them. The other thing to pray for before we turn into worship, as I've talked about teaching being a really high calling, and I know that there are teachers in this room, And I don't just mean teachers in the loosest sense of those of you who work in the school. I know you do this for your profession, and I want to make sure we pray for you in that, because you are helping children in this culture, and that's vital. I want to pray for people in the room who are teaching truth, who are tomorrow or next Sunday picking up scripture to teach to children. Because James says not many of you should do it, because it's a high calling, okay? So if you're a teacher, whether you teach in a school or whether you teach Bible on Sunday, will you just put your hand up like this? And if you've not got your hand up, will you turn and pray, put your hand on somebody? And if you've also got your hand up, you might want to pray for somebody next to you as well, because there's lots of us that teach truth in this room. So if that's you, will you turn and just turn and pray? You can keep your hand. You can say to someone, I also teach truth. Maybe you need to buddy up. Okay, will you turn? If you've not got someone, there's plenty of people over on this side of the room that are all teaching truth. Will you turn and find someone and pray for them? Pray for them as they teach truth, that they would do it diligently. Amen. That they would stand firm on the word of God.